バルバラバルバ、パッパパッパ、バルバラバルバ、パッパパッパ。If you're having trouble with your high school head, he's giving you the blues. You wanna graduate but not in his bed.
Cinnamon, ice, and flash mobs. Donna, what do they all have in common?
Cinnamon, ice, and flash mobs. They're all super cool.
Yes, but they're also all parts of internet challenges, of course.
Oh my god. What's the ice one? Oh, like ice bucket?
Yeah, like ice bucket. Mm. The one where when you go into the woods, and if you close your eyes, and if you squint
you close your eyes.
Five times... No. If you close your eyes
yeah.
and squint five times.
Squint, 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 squint,
then
squint.
Ice Bucket Man comes after you.
Spooky.
It's just a normal dressed man, but he's got kind of run down and ragged clothing, and he's got an ice bucket on his head, and he always seems to be somewhere between 50 and 60 yards away from you. Until you get deeper into the heart of the forest. And then he closes in 40 yards, 30 yards, 20 yards.
This sounds like really lame Slenderman.
Slenderman, thanks for, I was building up to a real fun goof scare there, but that's fine. You just had to just jump in with your little Slenderman comment. That's fine. I was feeling
ASMR vibes and I was getting kind of sleepy.
Thank you everybody for listening. That's the end of the episode. No, thank you for tuning in. It's The Bargain Den. It's your weekly source of financial advice in the form of us watching movies and telling you whether or not they're movies. Or are they frugal? Or are they even real? My name is Brandon.
My name is Donna.
And we're in the heart of spooky season here. It's the spookiest of spooky seasons. All spooks, no toots, just spooks.
I can't promise no toots.
I know.
That wasn't me.
That was my computer.
Hey,
sorry.
We said no toots, Mac.
I'm sorry. This week, what did we watch, Donna?
Brandon, this week we watched We're All Going to the World's Fair.
Yes, We're All Going to the World's Fair, directed by Jane Schoenbrunn.
Schoenbrunn. Wait, now I have to find her name.
I mean, I think she would understand.
I grew up with a kid. He was in my class like every year. His last name was Shoney.
Oh.
It was spelled like that, but instead of Brune at the end, it was an E. So just Shoney.
Interesting. It's a 2021 film. Just recently came out. It's on HBO Max. So we are going to spoil it. But if you want to catch this flick before we talk about it, and before you know if it's safe frugally to watch, then this is your heads up. It's a spooky one. And I feel like it's pretty highly spoilable too, wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
Kind of. I mean, let's just get into it. What we're going to do.
It's worth.
We'll get into
let's
it.
Let's just get into it.
So we're all going to the World's Fair.
I hear that there's some really neat exhibits there. and Chewbacca.
No, I couldn't do it that time. That's The Grudge. Come on, Chewie, we gotta fly this thing.
It's Star Wars.
Terrifying.
But instead...
I would love that. I would love a Star Wars reboot, and it's just, you know, Harrison Ford being all like, come on, we have gotta go, Chewie. And then Chewie's just standing in the corner, like eyes sunken in, just black hair instead of brown. Love it. And then I would love Chewie in the Grudge universe.
Like, what is that? It's like a swoosh of brown in the background. Like, creep up the stairs.
Kayako? Just get crossbow bolt in the chest, like.
You're so good at that. Oh no.
Anyway. Anyway, so this movie.
This movie's not like either of those things at all.
The World's Fair Challenge is a challenge on the internet in this movie, and our main character Casey's gonna participate. It's an MMORPG horror game played by kind of like it's an ARG type of thing, which is you're saying lots of acronyms here. Yeah. So it's a massively multiplayer online role playing game. ARG being like augmented reality game, in the sense that you know there's not really like a video game element to it or like an actual medium. It's just a storytelling horror game online called Going to the World's Fair, where you know people make videos, and if people like the way that people are making the story go, then you'll get views and the story will continue. Much in the vein of Bo Burnham's Eighth Grade, like kind of focuses on like the fringes of the internet. So when I say you'll get more views, it's like maybe 100 people would watch the video versus like 20. Like it's not like a super popular thing on the internet, it seems.
Right. Certainly not for Casey, our main character.
That is until JLB jumps in and starts responding to Casey's videos, saying stuff like, hey, yeah, you're right, it's very spooky.
Hey, I saw this spooky thing in your video. Pretty spooky. Keep making videos. Let me know you're okay.
So the Casey keeps making videos and they get creepier and creepier until she starts talking about some real dark stuff that's a little too serious. And then finally JLB is like, hey, you know, it's a game, right? And she's like, shut up. I hate you. You're clearly a 40-year-old man. And this is weird because I'm in high school. Bye. And then JLB tells us that a year later they met up and Casey is doing fine. But she did have a transcendent experience that night.
And she did end up spending like months in a care facility afterwards.
If we are to believe that. I think that's kind of, I feel like there's a lot of ways that this movie could be taken. Like, I don't know who to trust. It's very twisty and turny. What'd you think of this movie? We literally just watched it too. Typically we have some time to digest these things. We like just hit end on this.
Brandon, I'm worried I made a mistake. I'd like a do-over.
How do you mean?
Because this was my choice for Spooky Month and I'd like a different one.
Okay, yeah, totally.
So pause the recording. We're going to watch another movie and then pick it back up right here, but leave everything we've done.
Okay, sure.
Okay.
Okay.
No.
Oh, okay. I was about to do it. I
saw it. You were committed. Thank you.
I couldn't
you.
Tell what was the game and what was the thing.
It's just like the movie.
So wait, did you not like this one?
I did like it. I don't know what to feel, Brandon. I feel very strange.
Same.
I feel just...
For the record, this is my second time watching it. So I have had more time to digest this bad boy. It's a lot. It's weird. It's very strange.
It's a lot. There's so many layers because like it's... This is shit that happens on the internet. You know, like none of this was out of the ordinary, but it was still, like you said, like fringe internet. Like this is not Baby Shark with a billion views, you know, like, yes.
Everybody's benchmark for popular internet stuff. Baby Shark. It's
the most popular YouTube video of all time.
I mean, sure. Yeah.
It's not that.
For babies.
You want to fight?
Apparently, that little pop there was Donna's neck. So, if you're listening past chiropractors.
Don't listen to me pop my neck past chiropractors. You'll be very upset with me. Okay, so I'm concerned. I don't. it just feels a little too real. Where I'm really worried about like it. Kind of, I feel like. This girl died after making a fool of herself on the internet in a desperate attempt for views and validation, before. Maybe, who knows what awful fate. And I feel like she disappeared for whatever fate that might be. And then this man who has some weird twisted sense of morality where he knows that it's super inappropriate for him to be talking to teenagers on the internet, but he does it anyway, made up a story to make himself feel better about the fact that this girl that he got attached to on the internet died or disappeared. That's what I think.
I agree. It's so strange, and it's such a success, I think, in really capturing elements of the internet in the ways that Bo Burnham's Eighth Grade did as well. Like, I don't know. And I this watch of it also really, I feel like I got more scared this time because of just how easy it was. Like how easy, you know, this man in his 40s, who, I mean, for all we know, really doesn't maybe have any like negative intentions. He's just trying to create, you know, storytelling game in a niche online area. I mean, there is the element that, yeah, he should not be speaking to people in high school through and like playing games with them like this. I guess I don't know. It's very weird.
Well, yeah. And that's the other thing is it's like, well, but I think what I'm enjoying about the movie is it's making me kind of re-examine all of that.
Right.
Of like, well, but he didn't seem to have bad intentions. But then it's like, but he raised every red flag. Like, he wouldn't show his picture, but we knew what she looked like. We didn't know his name, but we knew hers. Like, he just sounded creepy. Like, well, he wouldn't, like, we never saw him leave his house. And also, that's like, that's what the movie does. We don't know this person, but just like she doesn't know this person. And maybe this is just how she pictures the person.
Right. Well, and yeah, like, there's a scene with the guy where he's in the background. You see a woman like come home, and like I feel like that could be his wife. Mm-hmm. And like, I don't know. Like, there's a part of me that's like, I mean, like, it's kind of a novel idea. I think it exists out there. It's like, oh, I want to create an online horror game, and if you know you post a video with this hashtag, I'll reach out to you and be this creepy person and. You know, like, oh, you're
feed into it. So if you're game, we can make it really creepy and help each other out.
Right. Where the main thing that this guy is 100% guilty of is not like the second he saw a video where she's like threatening, you know, to harm herself or others to not immediately be like report like and then like, hey, we're done. Like that is a no. Like that, that's why you have like safety things in place for things like this, because. There are lines like, yeah, you got to make sure people know it's still a game.
Yeah. And that was the other part that was really upsetting and weird is like, for one, it was kind of hard to tell sometimes what was actually being put on the internet. So that also blurred the line between like real and, you know, imaginary, so to speak, because none of this is real because it's a movie and that's another layer. But also... No, I forgot what I was going to say.
Don't know what's being put on the internet or... Well, I then kind of having talked about it a little bit more here for a minute, what, like, did you like it?
I'll say yes, overall. Great music, 10 out of 10 for the music. And it was a delight to watch. I'm going to have to mull it over for, like, the story. Yeah. What about you, Brandon?
I think I appreciated it more this time. And I think that it is something that's like, it's different. I don't know. Like, if you want something different, this is different. Like, and it's a little hard to digest. I think that if you're not game for or like not seen a lot of, I don't really know the good word, avant-garde. Like there's some moments and scenes and shots. Like the opening sequence in this movie is a like 10-minute long single take of the main character talking directly into the camera. It's very, very slow pace, and like it may not be for everybody. But I don't want to do boxed in because these are really long. People have a lot of stuff to say about this movie.
Yeah. I fucking bet. Do you have like one you would want to do?
Sure, yeah, we'll do Karsten.
Box, 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 boxed in.
Karsten gave it 4.5 stars. Of all the movies that have tried to, quote-unquote, get being online, this is the only one that has actually succeeded at that while still taking itself seriously in the process. Loved this. Reminded me of some of the worst / loneliest times of my life. Subscribe to my YouTube channel.
Lol.
I mean, that's like a glowing one. Then there's like Sarah here, gave it 0.5 star and said, I will never get the time back that I wasted on this bland, lifeless film.
I feel like there is a certain maybe nostalgia factor to this where it's like if you haven't had any experiences remotely like this, that it might be really like without some kind of a personal connection, it probably would feel very bland.
Can I ask you that real quick before we hop to the break? Like, have you ever had an experience on the internet that you would like to share that's like weird like this? Like, I don't know. Like, I feel like people have those like dives where they just find themselves somewhere on the internet and you're like, what the fuck is this?
That I would like to share. Okay, here's one. So yes. You remember this was going around when I was a freshman in high school. It was like the web page and it was just like, see if you can scroll till the end. And it was like if you're brave enough, you can make it through. But it was just awful. It was just a bunch of really awful, awful things that no one needs to subject themselves to. And it's really damaging for your psyche.
Yeah.
And I went down a very long, long ways of that to prove myself and then ended up searching shotgun sides for an entire evening. And that was awful.
Cool. Yeah.
I mean, that's like where all of this goes. It's very dark.
It's very dark.
What about you, Brandon?
Not far off. I mean, like, yeah, I remember like there was a website circling around whose name I won't provide here. But like it was, yeah, just like the worst of the worst of the internet, like .com basically. And yeah, just hyper violent stuff. And like, it's kind of interesting. I feel like if you can, yeah. If you can meet this movie at its level, that's kind of what it's trying to get at. Like, or some, one of the points it's trying to get at. That's where, that's some of the corners of the internet, yo. And it's weird and bad and scary.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not Sadako climbing through the TV screen, computer screen. It's
nuance. You climbing through the computer screen. It's you getting lost.
Let's see if we can find an existential crisis in the clearance aisle. But was it frugal? Yeah, was it frugal?
The existential crisis I found for absolutely free? No, it was not frugal. I'm better off without it. Some things you don't need, folks, even if it doesn't cost a penny.
I will say that this is the, if my understanding is correct here, the directorial debut for this director and... full length. Nope, I'm wrong. Anyway,
it's their debut for the year 2022 in the second half.
I guess it's still technically their first full length. The other one is 68 minutes, which I don't think technically qualifies by the standards of the movie industry.
That's like a mid length. That's like a mid-length. Like you have your short films and you have your feature length, and that's like a mid length.
Like, yeah, that's a mid-length. Anyway, so this is their feature-length debut.
Brandon, is our podcast kind of like that?
What?
Is it kind of like a corner of the internet?
Shut up. We can't. Like, I don't have time. Like, no. Yes, very much so. Yeah. It's a 10 by 10 little room with a cardboard cutout in a corner and a laundry basket in another corner and somehow three doors. Door City over here.
Anyway, I don't even know if it's 10 by 10.
Anyway, freaking out, man. I was going to say it's frugal, you know, in that the way that, you know, for being your first full length and you're really kind of all going for it here. Like a lot of it was self-contained to like small sets and really used the like camera on the computer in a way that wasn't annoying. Sometimes like found footage style movies can get kind of headachey and like but like,
oh, it was gorgeous too. Like I think what sucks about found footage stuff sometimes is that it really relies on like and then it's too dark to really see, or like, and then the camera's out of focus. Ooh, what's that? Spooky. This didn't do that really too much. I liked it. It felt very real, which if anything, it leaned on the idea that it was too real and not well enough done, which made it feel real, you know, of like,
right.
Oh, this person's really having a mental breakdown. I'm not comfortable watching this right now.
Yeah. Felt like it was a lot of natural lighting though, which I was think is frugal. Gosh, that scene where she's walking to the barn in like complete darkness makes me think of like walking between houses when I was a teenager. Do you remember doing that?
Yeah.
We used to do that all the time. I don't think I could do it now. I think I would legit be scared, like too scared to just walk in the dark in the like pitch black Oklahoma countryside.
I would walk around the pond in the pitch black dark of night. That was stupid. That's scary.
Spooky.
I don't want to do that. Anyway, yeah, lots of like natural, like use of natural settings and lightings, which is very, very frugal. And to that point, there's also a very small cast and crew for this movie.
Yeah.
Especially for a full length. I mean, there were actually a lot of people, though. It wasn't like, well, it's just because there's only one person. Like, you actually see a lot of people, and they credit, like, for all the YouTube videos they show. Those are all credits that get made. I'm curious, because that's frugal, I think, to keep your cast and crew light like that. But I'm curious if the videos, because, like, there's the ASMR one, right? And it's credited for like this person for the ASMR video. And then it's like, it seems very much like the name of the video and their YouTube channel. And I'm curious if they just like bought rights to use existing videos online, which seems like it'd be really frugal. And even if they didn't do it that way, if they faked all of it, then it's very frugal to me in the sense of like, it feels very real. Like they didn't use Hollywood equipment to fake those videos because that's not what it would look like.
No, I really don't think they did. I genuinely think those were made for the movie. And that, I thought they were outstanding because they really did a great job capturing different levels of filmmaking. I think especially independent filmmaking. And I don't know. And then this had its own unique style to it. I think that would be the hardest thing to capture some of that like semi-amateur filmmaking style or even like hyper-professional with like the plastic music video. Yeah, to then have this really make sense. Because like the guy running on the treadmill, that's listed on IMDb, he's got an A. Like, but I'm gonna say in that sense, like, I guess probably not frugal though, really, having to make those videos. You could have searched harder and found them.
So you're saying more frugal to buy the rights?
Yeah, even though it wouldn't have been as cool.
Okay, so these houses, they were really incredible and very fleshed out. This is going to depend a little bit. I don't know. I don't know if this is even worth bringing up because I don't know what the answer is to know whether it's frugal or not. But these houses kind of feel like they're actually lived in. Right? Like it feels like they actually went to a couple of houses and not sets. Do you know something?
Well, yeah, there was no trivia for this on IMDb, but listed here under cast on Wikipedia, a number of the performers appear in various real and staged YouTube videos, including and then lists off like legit creators. And so like some of them, I think actually you're right. Some of them are real. Some of them were not. I was wrong.
So I'm going to say frugal. Yeah. And that way you're also helping out other small and independent artists, which double frugal because it's probably cheaper that way. Ha ha. So the houses, what do you think? I don't know. Because like, I guess it depends how they got there, but it felt really real. It felt very lived in. So for that, I'd give it a frugal point. But how do they do it? You know,
houses, how do they do it? I mean, they probably borrowed some like people houses, you know, that's what I would bet.
I think you're right. Cause also like JLB's house, we only actually ever see like one wing of it. It's a very large house. Cause we see it from the outside at one point. And I could totally imagine that being a situation where like, hey, can we use, you know, your east wing to film in.
Ugly ass house, by the way.
I loved that house.
Oh, the big one?
Yeah, JLB's house.
Yeah.
I loved it. I thought it was so fucking cool. I thought both of the houses were really cool. I'm very enamored with them.
No, the JLB's was McMansion hell with like 1,000 windows.
It's so many fucking windows.
Too many windows.
They made no sense. It was great. I loved it.
Where are we landing? I feel like we're landing this one's frugal and should watch it.
I think it is. It's really got that indie shit going for it in the best of ways, you know?
It does. You know, it's funny is there are a number of comments. There are a couple in the movie talking about like, oh, it's just like Paranormal Activity. And like, I think... it's like heartwarming because it feels like this movie is successful in being like Paranormal Activity, that it's something that scratches an itch as a horror fan that like, haven't seen that. Like, thank you. Like, I eat this shit up. Like, I love these types of movies. So, you know, this director, her next feature length, A24 picked it up, which I'm excited. So I'm excited to see what they do next.
Yeah, then I think that seals the deal. Frugal, you know, if making that movie gets you A24 production on your next one, you did a good fucking job. I think worth the investment. 10 out of 10. Frugal city, baby. Let's all go to the frugal city where the grass is green and the dollars are pretty.
Can the episode be, let's all go to the frugal fair? We're all going to the frugal fair.
Yeah.
Thank you everybody for listening. I want to thank Sarah Anastasia for doing our artwork of us holding our kittens. Also want to thank the Lounge Kittens for the use of their cover of Dirty Deeds Done Dirt Cheap. Information and links to their both the Lounge Kittens and Sarah Anastasia in the description of every episode, every single time. Don't think we miss that. Don't think we ever do. Also want to thank Donna for recording with me. I appreciate it. Very kind of them to hop on here after a late night movie, catching a flick with me. Talk about a bit of a hard subject film to talk about. Well, what else do we thank here? Who else do we thank here? Thank you, the listener, and Anchor FM. Appreciate you both. Both the corporation and the individuals listening. And any corporations listening. And in Indiana Jones.
I would also like to thank our bargainer, which that person this week is Jack 3245. Thank you, Jack. Jack left us a 5-star review, and you could be our next bargainer if you do the same thing. It doesn't have to be 5 stars, but if you leave us a review on iTunes, we will, you know, thank you for it. We'll read your name. You'll be the bargainer. It's a privilege.
Thanks again, everybody. We'll be back next week for a new episode. My name is Brandon.
My name is Donna.
Pinch those pennies.
And stay frugal.
Donna, do you like coffee?
I love coffee.
Do you like rivers?
Sure.
Do you think that 2 rivers is better than 1?
I mean, sure.
Well, then I've got a deal for you. 2 Rivers coffee-flavored coffee pods compatible with K-Cup brewers, including 2.0 assorted variety pack-flavored coffee 40 count. Only $19.95. Basically, that's $2 per cup. Nope. Did the math wrong. Like 50 cents.
Hang on. Is it... Okay, it says coffee-flavored coffee pods. Is it coffee, though? Do you got some nutrition facts up in there?
I don't know. I mean, like, some of these flavors, we got some grasshopper pie.
Sounds delicious.
Sunday.
Oh, so this is like a flavor variety pack of coffee pods.
Yes.
Is it organic?
Let me
command. Is it approved by the little thing with the frog in the rainforest?
No.
Is it fair trade?
No.
Not frugal.
But you ain't got the guts. She keeps nagging at you night and day, enough to drive you nuts.
Okay, it does say on here that it is made of recycled material. I may have missed that.
Well, shit, that might be frugal, Brandon.